You're listening to the Choose to Be podcast with hosts Alana Gordon and Amy Woolsey. As you join us each week, we will provide you with tools, resources, and knowledge to help you navigate your healing journey. Choose recovery, choose healing, choose you.
Welcome to the Choose to Be podcast. Thank you all for joining our conversation today.
We are so excited to have joining us one of our amazing coaches, Stephanie Hamby. And today we're going to be introducing her, but really having a conversation around one of the things that she specializes in, and that is relational recovery. She does amazing work in helping assist couples, partners in healing and transforming their relationship after experiencing betrayal, and helping them to work towards recovery and healing and that reintegration. So, Stephanie, thank you for joining us today. And I'm really excited to let everybody meet you and hear you.
Yes. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be a part of the Choose team and also to be here today. So thank you guys for inviting me to share a little bit with your listeners.
I don't know if you know this, Stephanie, but I have had multiple people I've heard through the grapevine or directly from clients say how much they've really enjoyed working with you. And so it's been fun to hear just that feedback. And maybe a good place for us to start with our listeners is, for you, why couples work? Why are you so passionate in this area? Why is that kind of turned into your little niche?
So I would say it's personal. That's what led me here. And I haven't experienced this in my own life. And it changed my life. So the partner betrayal obviously changed my life dramatically. But then being able to go through the transformation of healing with my spouse and seeing how much more we both grew as people really led me to this. So I know that it's possible because I've experienced it, and I'm passionate about seeing other people's lives transform. And Amy, you said the word I wrote, that was one of the words I wrote down as like something that I wanted to talk about today, because it is a transformative process, and being able to walk alongside people, partners, and the relationship is just amazing to watch. So as a coach, my heart is full being a part of that. But just to be able to co-create with them and see them and their lives change, is that's why I'm passionate about it.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. You said something I wrote down. You said that it's possible. And knowing that we have a lot of listeners wondering, is it possible? What would you say? I know there's a lot of nuances probably to this answer, but just what comes to mind for you? What makes it possible? How would you answer that question?
That's a good question. Sometimes when we hear of relational repair and we think that it could create this false hope, is this possible for me? Is this possible for my relationship? It's yes, I believe you're correct. There are a lot of nuances. It is possible, but there's a lot of things that come into play with that. Are both partners willing? Are both partners invested in their recovery and healing? Do they want their lives transformed? Do they want to change? Do they want to grow? So it's relational. So it takes both people truly invested in the process. So I think I wanted to highlight the false hope, because I think sometimes when those other things are not in play, the willingness and all the things that it takes to step into relational, it can create this like vision of hope that could not be true. So I hope I clarified that well. And that's something that is really developed in individual work with your coaches, which is the foundation for relational repair. You have become stronger and you are able to make more informed choices to whether choosing to stay in your relationship is appropriate or not.
I love that. I think that And then that's the reason I was asking, is because I know there's so many people that want to believe that hope. There's a lot of people that are believing that it's possible, but not seeing the reality that it does take two to believe it's possible and do the work to make it possible. Yeah, just it can be really heartbreaking when that's something that you really want so desperately, but the other person doesn't. When do you know a couple? No, let me ask it this way. How can these women know when they're ready to do couples work?
I think that it's best if both people have had individual recovery and healing. So the partner is working with her or his individual recovery and healing. They are becoming sit. They have safety and stabilization in their lives. And then the one who has acted out sexually is also working an active recovery program. So that looks like they are working individually with someone. They are learning what has caused the acting out behavior, learning ways to cope in more healthy ways. So they have that foundation. Once they both have safety and stabilization, they are more able to make informed decision on the relational repair. And so those are like prerequisites. And I got distracted on the question. I completely lost the question.
You're so good. What's going through my head, and you used the word earlier, the term false hope. What goes through my head is Amy and I did an episode, don't even remember when, in the past, around how when having hope can be helpful and when having hope can be problematic. And so this false hope of so badly wanting to dive into this relational work as soon as possible to heal. And there's this complicated, nuanced middle ground sometimes of we want to not get people on such little islands that it's so hard that by the time we're ready to do relational work, it's like we have to cross the Grand Canyon to come back together. We don't want that. But also, if we dive into this couple's work too early or too soon, we can cause some real damage. And if there is any type of abuse happening, this level one of healing or stage one of healing is safety and stability. And so if we don't have safety and stability, and then all of a sudden we're trying to do relational work, that can really hinder any type of progress we're trying to make. So when Carol Jorgensen Sheets came out with her IRCA model, which is early recovery couples model, early couples recovery model, when she came out with that, I was really excited about this concept of, okay, cool, we can do some really basic relational work early on so we can get some of these bridges going. But then at the same time, we're not doing the full breadth of relational work that we would be doing maybe a year or two into the journey. And for you, do you mind explaining a little bit? Because I know you've been through the IRCAM training. Do you mind, just for our listeners, explaining what that IRCAM model actually means and actually looks like?
Yeah. Also, maybe we can add in somewhere that I found it to be really beneficial for those who are in individual recovery. If they're not quite ready for relational repair, but they need like this connection, they need something to bring together their recovery, is to do these joint sessions that are like once a month. So they're both working individual, but they come together for every 3 weeks or once a month for the joint sessions to just sprinkle in these relational skills, like couples check-ins, or are we scheduling time each week for connecting our recovery? Because it really helps with the partner in safety. It helps her with her own safety and healing, but then to know, oh, my partner is actually working their recovery and bringing it to me. So that works really well. But yes, I've talked about the IRCAM.
So really quick, can I just clarify, just because I want our listeners to really know. So joint sessions are a just a check-in where each person's reporting on where they are in their individual work or sharing where they are in their individual work, but then also just some really basic relational tools because we're still in a relationship. So that's the joint session. And joint sessions are different than the early couples recovery work, which is different than our typical couples work.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, keep going. I just want to make it really clear for our listeners.
Yeah. So the joint sessions are both are in individual healing. So partners working towards their individual healing. The one who's acted out is working towards their recovery once a month or so. We come together for very basic relational skills just to bring together what we are learning. How can we continue this relationship to an extent while we're both healing and in recovery? Then there's the early recovery couples empathy model, which is Carol Jurgensen Sheets. And that is where they both, so it is very similar to the APSATS model, the three stages of healing. You have the safety and the stabilization, the grief period, which is similar to the APSATS, remembering and mourning. And then the third part is post-traumatic growth. So they come together, the partner and the one who has acted out in early recovery, to create empathy for the experiences and the trauma that the partner has had because of the acting out behaviors. So he is learning, or the one who's acting out is learning skills to come in and support their partner in their healing. It is really good because if he can come in, or the one who's acting out can come in and help their partner heal, it creates empathy in the relationship, which helps with relational repair. So that is reassurance of the attachment, reassurance of the work that they are doing in their recovery, acknowledging the partner's experience, the trauma responses, reactions, what is coming up for the partner, and then validating their feelings, learning how to support them in triggers. How can I be with you? How could I come into this space with you whenever you are experiencing a trigger due to my behavior, my acting out behavior has caused this? How can I come in and support you and become the safe space so that we can both heal and grow together? So there is tons of tools, practical tools, which I love about the IRCAM model on how the couple can come together in that early recovery for empathy and relational skill building.
I hear in that a lot of accountability. And the question I have, or that I would assume partners would be asking, is, does he already have to have the ability to be somewhat accountable to be able to do this? Or is that something that he'll learn how to do? Like, he doesn't have accountability, therefore I want to hurry and do this IRCAM so that he will then start being accountable.
I think that's a layer question too, or what I heard, the partner's not responsible for holding the spouse accountable. So it's not her job to say, oh, we need to go ahead and start this. This would really be helpful in accountability. So it's not her position to hold that. I think it's really good. And also what the IRCAM model teaching is that he has outside of support for that accountability. It looks like him still being in active recovery. He's still meeting potentially with his one-to-one coach or therapist. He still has outside accountability with group support and maybe like a mentor or sponsor or someone who is holding him up to his goals that he is wanting to achieve in the relationship. Yes, it also holds him accountable because, like, daily check-ins. Am I showing content, truth, behavioral truth together in my check-ins? Is my partner able to visually see the change that's being made in me that I'm learning in my recovery work? So I think that's a part that holds them accountable. I'm living proof that there's change being made in my life.
As you were talking, I'm thinking of different scenarios with clients who are trying to do couples work, and the betray partner is just feeling really frustrated in that couples work. So I guess my question for you is, what have you seen signs or signals to look for or watch for where you might suggest we take a break from couples? Is that a thing where you're like, you know what, this isn't helpful right now? When would you do that, or would you?
Yes. Yes. yes and yes, when and how. I feel like I'm constantly assessing for willingness. And if at any point the one who has acted out seems to be pulling away from willingness to stepping in, that's when it would be a good time to just reassess. Okay, where are we at? What is your willingness level? Why are you here? What are you hoping to gain from this? And so anytime that there's willingness that starts to feel like, oh, I'm building this wall. I'm not stepping into this anymore. I'm not wanting to learn new things. So that's the key with willingness is, am I open to learning new things? What I've done in the past doesn't work for me. Am I willing to try and learn new things? So of course we try things and they just don't work. So are we willing to try something else? So anytime that willingness starts to pull back, me as a coach, I'm like, okay, can we assess? What is our goals? What are we working towards together? So willingness is huge.
I think that's one of the biggest, and it, part of my story too, frustration doing couples work, is that you feel like you might know they're not willing, but I feel like so many times, why didn't my therapist or see that he wasn't willing, but yet kept letting us come? And I just would leave being hammered and feeling like it was just, I was just getting beat up the whole time. And I appreciate you saying that. I think that's really important to hear, that as a professional, you're watching for that and you're not willing to just let him keep coming, even though he's not willing. I think that just says a lot.
Yeah. Something else that come up around that too, Amy, as I was thinking, oftentimes the one who has acted out, a big barrier for them, or the big, greatest barrier in their own recovery, but also in the relational, is the shame that comes up. Sometimes it's not necessarily the willingness, it's shame standing in front of my willingness. So we will step aside and work with, can we work through the shame? What's coming up? Is there wounds here that we need to address that's really blocking your willingness to step forward? So it can look like, sometimes we're not actually saying, okay, let's end couples. This isn't working as much. Do we need to pay a little more attention to this shame that's talking? See what that looks like. And then if it's not that, and it's true, just I have an unwillingness to step into it, then we like assess from there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really powerful.
The thought that keeps going through my head is, how does somebody know if it's best to do work with a coach where they're getting these skills versus for where we're at, we need to be in couples therapy? How do clients determine that of what's their next right step?
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that appropriately.
Okay, I'll give my 2 cents.
I'm having my own opinions around couples therapy and how much harm that it causes to people, because it's not partner sensitive. So they're putting so much emphasis on the partner and her showing up and stepping into this. So I'm like, is there ever a time that it's appropriate when there has been betrayal? That's me and something I need to work through right now. Unless it's several years out, 5, maybe.
And
I want your opinion.
I hope you don't let us edit that out, because I think with Amy and I and the podcast, there's so much of us, let's navigate this together and let's look at this. And I love that you bring that up, because for me, I looked at, even I remember going through grad school, and I went through grad school post going through my own betrayal, and I took courses on couples therapy, and I'm like, this is terrible advice for betrayal. If there were other things happening, then yeah, it makes a lot of sense. But for betrayal, the way a lot of therapists are trained is not in the benefit of the partner. And we need the partner to get, again, safety and stability and healing to be able to do that deeper relational work. But, and I could actually go into the other side of it, why it's so important too. But so I think about how I was trained through my education and how much that was still lacking in really what I see couples need. there is value and benefit for it in the right time of really looking at the greater system and how each person is playing into it. And the reality is every single human impacts others around them, and we have to know what our impact is. And even when there is, I'm going to go extreme of like abuse in the relationship, if I'm in an abusive relationship, I still need to understand not how I'm making them abuse me, but I need to understand how I am part of this pattern so I can really understand for myself and recognize how to step out of this pattern. But when it comes to couples therapy, being in couples therapy with all of that happening would not be beneficial. I had a couple one time, and going back to your willingness, she was the one who had cheated and she was not interested in doing the work. And our sessions, and they were both very insistent that they wanted couples. And finally, I just said, ethically, I cannot do this. You each have individual work that has to be done. And I cannot be part of this pattern. I cannot facilitate these discussions when there is not the work that needs to be done foundationally. And so that was really hard for me as a professional to give them that message because it wasn't what they wanted. They really did want to do the relational work, but there was really important pieces that had to be there as an individual to successfully do that next level of work. And we can't skip steps and then just think we're going to get there. So anyway, long-winded way of saying traditional couples work, I don't see till way further down the road. But this early couples work of getting these basic skills, learning for the partner who has betrayed, learning how to sit with their partner in the pain, learning how to hold that and how to hear that, I think that's really beneficial. And the sooner we can do it, the better. And even that, we still need really basic levels of being able to stand on our own 2 feet to be able to do that. So I like this extra piece that you have put in of here's these joint sessions that we're not even calling any type of, not early couples, not couples. They're just joint sessions where you're both sitting together in the room and we're looking at this. So all of this going back to answer my own question. Thank you, Alana, for this monologue. To answer my own question of like, when is couples appropriate? Or when does a therapist need to step in? I think this is where coaches can be really beneficial, is when coaches are coming in and they're teaching the psychoeducation and they're teaching these basic level skills to help us learn how to work together, to then better help us set us up to do the deeper work later. I think that's where there can be some real value there.
I literally had a revelation while you were talking. Back to the 3 stages of IRCAM, where it's safety and stabilization, then we have grief and post-traumatic growth. Once the couple has worked through IRCAM and they are in the post-traumatic growth, they are more equipped to be able to look back at the relational dynamics that are outside of partner betrayal. To me, it seems like it would make more sense if they have gone through the early recovery couples empathy model, the one who has acted out being able to provide empathy for the partner's very partner-sensitive model. Once they're in that post-traumatic growth, then they can do like the deeper work. Because you're so right. There are relational dynamics that are present outside of partner betrayal and sexual acting out. So I think when they have hit that, they are ready. Because at post-traumatic growth, we want to, now I am a new person. Like we have, it's like we are reborn. And so now I'm a new person. I am ready and more equipped to look at those things. To me, it just made sense whenever you were talking.
And I'll just put a disclaimer out there. If we have things like personality disorders, or we're on the spectrum, or more of these complexities, please do your early couples recovery work with a therapist who has been trained in betrayal trauma and in their early couples recovery model. If we have those type of things, get a therapist who has the correct training. And if we don't have that, doing this level of that early couples work, joint sessions, then early couples work with the coach can be a great.
I completely agree. And I really validate, Stephanie, what you're saying there earlier, because I see the same thing with my clients that have done couples therapy where it isn't partner sensitive and the damage that it has done is heartbreaking, maddening. It really makes you just want to scream out to the world, like, just stop it. Just stop doing this harm. So I completely agree with you. And I love the authenticity of the conversation, because I think you're right. And that's how I've always looked at the couples therapy versus coaching. I love working with couples just around the intimacy pyramid when they've gone through the disclosure, right? They're working through grief and they're just ready to start like making some of those healthy connections. And they're still working on rewiring their brain around sexuality. And she's learning to own her own sexuality. I love helping them step into that early work where we're not digging so much deep into their own personal childhood wounds. But I think what we're trying to do when we're reintegrating couples is, like you said, get them from being on two islands and help them start figuring out how to work through all this mess together after they've had that disclosure. And it is scary. It is muddy. It is hard. It is tricky. But I believe that a coach that is trained and skilled in that area can do amazing work with a couple to prepare them for that post-traumatic growth that comes after.
And I make another disclaimer. There are a lot of people out there who are passionate about the work and just say, hey, I'm a coach. Therefore, I can give you advice. And there's no regulation with coaches. So I am really passionate about coaches who are properly trained and have put in their own work. And I'm not talking about their own healing work as an individual, which is also really important. They shouldn't be coaching unless they are at a place in their own recovery that they can handle coaching. But separate of that, all of our coaches with CHOOSE, we have very high standards of what you have to have. And so if you're looking for a coach, just because someone says they're a coach, please do not just go with them. Make sure that they have a professional training under their belt. Stephanie, you not only have your professional training, but you've been through the APSATS training and you've been through the IRCAM training, and you're continually looking for ways to train yourself to be able to be at the top of your understanding in your game, in your field. And so I just want to put that out there. And if you're a coach listening to this and you're like, oh no, like I don't have my training, go get it. And please, to our Bay Trade partners, don't settle for less. Make sure you have somebody who's properly trained, whether they're a therapist or a coach. Make sure they have training and understanding so that the tools in their tool belt can actually help with the repair that needs to be done.
Thank you for that disclaimer. Okay.
Looking at the, you know, where do we go after that?
I know.
Mood killer.
No, I think it is. It is. It's important. It's important to me. I imagine, Stephanie, it's important to you. We work hard to gather information, to learn, to get educated. So like you said, Alana, to make sure that we're serving our clients the best of our ability. I know that I appreciate the, I don't want to use the word recognition, but the amount of work that I've put in too. And anyways, but.
I'll sit here on my high horse for a minute, because you can tell the difference of those who have really done their own individual work and done the professional work. And I think about, even in session, our nervous system attunes to the nervous system of who's with us. And so having somebody on the other side of the room or the screen who has really done their own work, that can be healing at our nervous system level to our bodies, to be with somebody who is safe for us. So just making sure that we have that really foundational level of safety. And I'm realizing we're almost at time. Stephanie, is there anything you hope to share with partners or with couples that you feel like would be important or beneficial for them to know just on this journey?
So something came up earlier. It is empathy being the antidote in relational healing. And I know a lot of times that the one who has acted out will think, I can never have empathy. Like, I'll never be able to have that. But it is so neat because it is a learned skill. So it's not something that you have to have been born with or even exhibited it, that you had to embody in childhood, but that you can learn it as you are in the relational repair. So having this education, so the IRCM model is very, or early recovery couples is very psychoeducational. So there's a lot of learning about what the partner is experiencing. And so the one that's acted out can actually see, oh, these reactions, these responses are not just her trying to hurt me or be angry all the time or sad all the time, that these reactions and responses are due to the trauma that she's experiencing. And as they learn more, the one who's acted out, they are able to provide that empathy of coming in. And it's a skill that's learned. So the more they practice it and utilize it, the more it grows inside of them. And that's really the piece that the partner needs for safety and to help them heal. So I just wanted to touch on empathy and how it's sprinkled in or tucked into all of the relational skills that we use in the couples healing model. So
I really love that, because I hear it, that goes back to that willingness. If they believe that they can learn how to be empathetic and they have that willingness, that really lays the foundation for that skill to start to develop. And it's okay if they're at ground zero. It's that willingness and then believing they can do that.
Yeah.
Such power when our brain believes something is possible and how that opens up more to it. Thank you, Stephanie, for hanging out with us today. Thank you for talking about your work. I will plug that you have your Healing Hearts group that's starting any day now. Is there anything on the Healing Hearts you want to share about that?
So there's a lot of education and learning, and all it's basically just what I talked about is being able to learn these things that are happening in your relational or in the relationship and with each individual so that you can have that empathy. So lots of education in learning about what your partner is experiencing, but also the sexual integrity issues. The partner is going to be learning what is coming up for the one with sexual integrity issues or the cycle there. And relational skills, it's really great for learning. And then also we have the group support where you can have peers who come alongside of you and hear other people's stories in a way that's going to help your growth and you can help theirs. Peer support is huge. And so that's Healing Hearts in a really quick nutshell. But I think it's going to be really great for couples as they are working in their individual work or even in the couple's work and then having this as support outside of that.
I love all of that. I love that you're doing this course. ChooseRecoveryServices.com if people want to sign up for it. Thank you, Stephanie, for hanging out with us. Thank you for sharing this with our clients. I know that there's a lot of people who care very deeply about this part of the healing journey, and there's so much confusion in this area. So thank you for your time today. And for all of our listeners, thanks for hanging out with us. And we look forward to seeing you all next week.
I have a lot of betrayed partners come to me when they feel they are stuck in that should I stay or should I go space. First of all, join my free group coaching session the first Thursday of every month. That's this Thursday, 9 a.m. Mountain Time. Bring your stuckness and let's get you coached. If you prefer to start navigating this journey at your own pace, in the privacy of your own space, then check out my Divorce 101 guide and start in the awareness pillar. This guide is designed to help you know what the next right step is for you right now by connecting back towards you. It's not a guide towards divorce. Getting educated about your options can help you choose to stay or go from a place of conscious choice, because it is your choice to choose healing, to choose recovery, and to choose you. Take care, everybody.